We're in a series on the gifts of the Spirit. And a couple of weeks ago, I simply want to correct one little statement that I made while I was on my way to a point. I spoke of Eli, who was the priest, and I quickly made a comment on my way by in the lineage of Saul. Well, obviously, Eli was not a prophet in the lineage of Saul. He was of the old Aaronic order or Aaron's order. And so I want to be faithful to the Bible. How many know that the Bible teaches us the Bible? We get our understanding and the interpretation of the Scripture from the Scripture, from the Bible. And we love the Word of God, and so I thought later, I went, what did I say? You know, something kind of sticks with you, and you go, what was that? And then I listened back to it on the computer, which www.gracechristiancenter.us you can do. And I came to that point, and sitting there in my chair going, my goodness. Anyway, I thought I'd better make that straight. As a church, we do not deny the moving of the Holy Spirit, but we welcome Him. Someone say amen.
Amen.
We welcome Him. We want Him. We want to see Jesus. We want to hear Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. We want to please Jesus. We want to cooperate with Jesus. Am I talking a lot about Jesus? Who loves Jesus in this room? We want the fresh move of the Spirit of God. We don't try to quench the Spirit. We don't try to throw water on the fire of God. As a guest, if you're here this morning as a guest, we welcome you. We love you. But I will say our position, and I say this sweetly and lovingly as a congregation, is we don't worship our guests and our participants first and foremost. We love you, but we love and worship God first and foremost. Someone say amen.
Amen.
We worship Him first. After all of us are here in God's house. In God's house. We don't want to deny Him. We can't and won't apologize for Him. We give Him room in our lives to the best of our understanding and the best of our ability to understand the Scriptures. And we give Him room in our Grace Christian Center services. Like me, can you pray these words, O Lord, let Your fresh winds blow. O Lord,
let Your river run.
Bring revival, O God.
A new move
of Your Spirit. We are in the series on the gifts of the Spirit, and this morning we're going to be speaking specifically about the gift of speaking in tongues. Now, we don't magnify the gifts, we magnify the giver. How many know Jesus is the greatest gift? Every expression of the gift of the Spirit needs to honor Him and be biblical and on board with what the Scripture says, or we won't give it, it's not worth, as Pastor Sherry says, the powder to blow it up. Okay? We want to stay true to the Scriptures, true to His Word. And so what we're going to do is, after I've said this, we're going to go into a pamphlet that we've written. And if it takes us two services, so be it. But we're going to get through it because we feel that it's extremely important to understand what the Scripture says about the gifts of the Spirit. We've been in a series on them. The rest are online. But this morning, we're at a place where we want to talk about speaking in tongues. Would you read this one out loud with me, please? We do not deny but express the gifts of the Spirit in order to glorify Jesus and edify His people. Now, if we don't get through the pamphlet this morning, I'm going to ask you to bring it back next week, and we will complete it. But feel free to take notes all over it and enjoy it. I read it again on your own after we go through it this morning. I think it presents in a text format a great deal of understanding about this particular gift of the Spirit of God. So, one more time, say it with me. We do not deny, but express the gifts of the Spirit in order to glorify Jesus and edify His people. Let's go to some scriptures. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 10? If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, we have Bibles in the back of the room. My primary text, yes, Pastor Sherry? Oh, yes. Please, if you'll start to hand those out, that's great. But I'm going to take a few minutes to set a context before we go to the pamphlet. So please leave the pamphlet turned over. Don't open it yet. I don't want to lose you. Already did. Already lost some of you. And you don't even have the pamphlet yet. That was a little joke. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. And I also put them on the overhead for you to see. So when you receive the pamphlet, just set it face down. We won't go to it yet, but we will. You've got a place on the back of the pages to take notes from this first section that present a foundation from where we're heading with the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 10. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be what?
Ignorant.
Paul took time, labored among his disciples and among the church to teach what does the Word of God say about these things. Some people, you know, they say, well, you know, charismatics, Pentecostals, they swing from chandeliers. There's no substance. It's all experientially oriented. You know, the old phrase is, help me, PK, if I forget this, but the old phrase is, all spirit and, oh, no. All teaching from the Word of God, all written text, you blow up. Oh, gee. You dry up. Thank you very much. You dry up. All experience, you blow up. Spirit and truth, you grow up. And so we want to understand the Scriptures as Paul wanted us to, as the Holy Spirit wants us to, and we want to experience what the Bible says. We want to walk in, say it with me, spirit and in truth. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. We've spoken in times past, Corinth was located relatively closely to the oracle at Delphi. And there was babbling that took place. Basically, a priestess would sit over the cracks in the rocks, vapors would come up, she would become stoned, if you will. She'd get high on the vapors and she'd begin to perform some babbling. Other priests would write down what she would say. Other people would flock from all around with their questions and their issues. And this became a fortune-telling thing where she made and they made a bundle of money. But Corinth, that's what these people understood when it came to tongues and interpretation. Babbling, write it down, it didn't make sense. So you have them coming into the church being saved with that kind of background. So Paul teaches them to come out of the confusion. You also have a very zealous people in Corinth who want to experience all the gifts of the Spirit. How many want to experience all the gifts of the Spirit? We do, but the river of God has to flow in a channel so it doesn't become a flood and destroy lives, but become something productive that brings life and fruit. You were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Somebody in their church had spoken out a text or a message saying Jesus was accursed. Vain babblings. And Paul is saying, that's not of God. Who can say amen? Amen. That's not of God. The Spirit of God is going to lead us to worship and acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. All right? No one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. All right? Say it with me, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. For the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All right, so what do we learn? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3 tells us it's all to glorify the Lord. Number two, it's to profit all the saints. Number three, the context of the gift of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit is love. To build up, to love, to edify, to strengthen. See your scriptures, the famous chapters of Corinthians that deal with the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But there's a love sandwich, if you will, all around it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we just experienced as communion. And Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 11 how to love one another properly in the love feast or the communion. Then you get to chapter 12 and there's gifts of the Spirit. Then you get to 13, and what's chapter 13 all about? Love. Then you get to 14 and we're back to the Spirit. Why? Is that just some random thought unrelated? Absolutely not. It's the context of the gifts of the Spirit is to love Him, love each other, profit, grow, and glorify God. Now, as we speak about speaking in tongues, I'm going to say at the outset, there are different kinds of speaking in tongues. The Greek word glossolalia. There are different kinds. There is, especially for the moment, for context, I want to talk about, there is private gift of speaking in tongues that is available to all that God blesses you with as you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the most usual sign that accompanies someone receiving it. Have any of you ever had a burden on your heart that you didn't know how to put words to? You just had a heaviness of soul. That's what the gift of speaking in tongues is for. Have you ever just desired to just plain love Jesus so freely you want to just give Him praise? That's what the gift of speaking in tongues is for. Available to all according to the Scriptures. But then there's an office gift. And I just want to put this in context. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4 and 5. He who speaks in a tongue edifies who? Build yourself up, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. Now watch this. You grab a Nestle's Greek interlinear Bible. And the Greek here, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. That means, in the King James it says, but rather that you prophesy, and the Greek literally says, but rather in order that ye may prophesy. It is the personal gift of being built up in the Spirit. You speak in your prayer language to God, in your time of worship, you're built up, you're edified, you're strengthened, and you are more sensitive to His voice. So you speak in the tongues and in the language God gives you in order that you may come into the corporate assembly and you're sensitive now to speak forth the word that will edify the church. Does that make sense? But in order, rather in order that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues in the corporate assembly, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Now let me just say something really quickly by way of instruction. What happened here this morning was a very biblical expression. We had prophecies and we had what? There was a message in tongues with what? An interpretation. Very biblical expression of the gifts of God. How many want to hear God's voice? I want to hear God speaking to me. But I want it decently and in order, the Bible says. Okay, we can deal with it if it gets out of order. The neat thing about the Corinthian church, people can sit back and get critical all day long. They were just all out of order. You know what they were? They were in motion. They were doing something. It's easier to move a truck when it's in motion than when it's parked. Okay? All right, so the Spirit of God moves. But what happens is the worship dies down. We're all able to use our prayer language, our individual personal gift, as we worship the Lord, as we're all worshiping together. But if it all dies down quietly, it is out of order if one person cries out in tongues if there is no interpreter or interpretation. That's not biblical. So Paul says, if you're going to have tongues and interpretation, or tongues in the church setting, where it's just like a prophecy, it has to be accompanied by an interpretation. There's two kinds. Now I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, but all foundation. Listen, the same Apostle Paul who says, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, You'll notice in context that verse is in a series of verses about office gifts in the church. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? In other words, do all have that ministry office gift in the church of that specific experience or gifting? The obvious answer is no. All right. Now, I want to ask you a question, and I'd like to have an answer, please, congregationally. How many believe that Paul was confused? Yes? No? The no's carry the day. Paul was not confused. How many of you believe, therefore, that if there's a difference in understanding, it's probably us who's confused? Probably? Okay. All right. Let me just point this out. The same Apostle Paul who says, do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And the obvious answer is?
No.
Also is the guy who another couple of chapters says, I speak in tongues more than y'all. Well, now, Paul's either arrogant. I speak in tongues more than y'all. I know you jerks can't do it, but I do. How many think that's his spirit?
No.
No. So, is he confused? Is he arrogant?
No.
No. There are two different kinds for the context of this conversation. I speak in tongues more than y'all. I love speaking in tongues. You can all do this in order that you might be edified and built up. But when it comes to the church setting, we've got to have words that everyone can understand. And so do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret as an office ministry gift in the church setting? No. Okay? That's a crucial foundational understanding from the Scriptures when you approach this entire subject. Private versus corporate. Edifying the church. Now, on your own, the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 12 through 15, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the, what is it again? Please say it with me. Edification of the church that you seek to excel. Now, there was competition. I got a better gift than you got. Hey, I love the mystery of speaking in tongues. I can do this. And Paul's saying, wait a minute. Lovingly serve in the gifts of the Spirit. And if you want to excel at something, don't excel at making yourself look good. Excel at edifying the church. Look at each other and say, I'm here to help you. And I'm not from the IRS. So he's communicating his heart that let's seek to excel at blessing each other. Therefore, let him who speaks in tongues pray that he may interpret. When you're on your own at home praying in tongues in the prayer language God has given you, ask God to give you the interpretation. Man, have you ever woken up in the middle of the night, you don't even know what the burden is, but there's a burden on your heart, whether it's a relative or somebody else, it just comes in waves. What do you do at that point? Get up and take a tum. Right. You pray until that burden lifts. Just practically, pray until that burden lifts. And sit, and you don't even know why you're praying. Hey, a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting at a Wednesday night gathering, and Ted was on my heart. And I think it was right at 7:30. I have no idea what took place at 7:30, but I stopped the meeting to pray for Ted right then. God gives you a burden, and you go with it. Okay? All right. And Maria's going, I have no idea what Ted was doing at that time. All right. So you pray that there may be interpretation, both personally and corporately. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. My understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? Please say it with me. I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit. I will also sing with the understanding. Now, see his conclusion? It's a lot different than people who say, so we're just not going to have anything to do with the spirit. I very purposely outlined a foundation as we began this. If it ends up going next Sunday morning, fine. But I very purposely told you our position, our belief, our surrender to Jesus as a congregation. Church, there are a lot of churches nowadays, even Pentecostal charismatic churches, that no longer give room for the expression of the gifts of the Spirit. Some take the moving of the Spirit and tuck him over into a little prayer room. How many of you know you try to get God in a box, he just loves to burst out? I, for one, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I would far rather, if it means people don't like me, if it means as a congregation people say, ah, funny business, it's all right, they said it about Jesus. I would far rather give room for the Spirit of God to move in our midst. Well, Pastor Kevin, don't you know that some people are going to come in the service that don't like that? I understand that. Love you. Love people who don't like me. Love you. But love Jesus more. And if God wants to speak, you know, I learned early on. Can we talk? I learned early on that you've got to let God move, and those people that you're concerned about seeing something, God knows exactly what they need to see. Okay? I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. All right. Let's go on. Open up your pamphlet to page. It's the page one. It's going to be your title page, next page, and then it begins with some questions. And we're going to work our way through this. Is speaking in tongues a modern phenomenon? The answer? No. Speaking in tongues is not just a modern phenomenon. It's definitely a gift for today. It's been around. The Holy Spirit has been doing this since the early church. And so lots of years it went by without much publication. But you look into your history books and you find your history. In fact, there's a whole history section at the back of the pamphlet. But Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, Tertullian, or Origen, Augustine, Chrysostom, Luther, who did I say? Wesley. So you've got Lutherans and Wesleyans and Finney and Moody. And in fact, you have a whole D.L. Moody movement that has expunged his statements and his books that had stuff about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They've expunged it from his books in a lot of cases. And that's a sad statement. So is it a modern phenomenon? No, it's not. It was a common practice of the early church. Let me just give you quick summation before we move on to the next point. Three major outpourings, we've talked about it before, in the Holy Spirit movement just in the 20th century. 1902 to 1906, Azusa Street. Say with me, Azusa Street. The Pentecostal church was birthed. People were baptized in the Spirit, spoke in tongues, healing, and people came from all around the world with the mode of transportation of that day and carried forth the Holy Spirit baptism all around the world. Pentecostal churches were birthed. 1948, not Latter Saints, that Latter-day Saints, but the Latter Rain movement. People seeking God in North Battleford, Saskatchewan, Canada. And there was a huge move of God in response to their heart cry, the Latter Rain movement, baptism of the Spirit, gifts of speaking in tongues, praise and worship especially with healing. 1968, the Charismatic movement. So, speaking in tongues is not just a modern phenomenon. It's gone all the way through the church history. It's remember, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not just the gift of speaking in tongues, but that's the most normal, most usual accompanying sign. Did speaking in tongues pass away with the end of the original apostles? The answer? Some people say, according to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10, and we'll read it here, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, when that which is perfect has come. There's your phrase. When that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. How many of you know the Apostle Paul never considered himself perfect or finished in his growth in the Lord? How many understand the Church of Jesus Christ is not finished nor fully perfect like Jesus would have it be? The error here for those who don't speak in tongues or believe in it, when they say that the perfect is the canon of Scripture, they fail to understand that perfection implies or means maturity, and it means becoming like Him, and Jesus is the perfect. How many know Jesus is perfect? How many know you and I ain't yet? All right. So, it's an error perspective. It didn't die out. The perfect is Christ. There's no evidence, middle paragraph there, that prophecy, including inspiring preaching, tongues, or knowledge, ever passed away. No knowledge of that. Throughout, skip down to the bottom, throughout 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, he instructs believers to earnestly desire and covet the spiritual gifts, including tongues. Read the next phrase with me, please, in order to edify the church so that full individual and corporate maturity can be reached. All right, let's go on. What does the scripture mean that speaking in tongues is a sign for unbelievers, not believers? Now, how many remember 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7? Is that my next verse up there, Pat, or is it not? Okay, no problem. It talks about all of the gifts being maintained in the church till we come to the full revelation of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 7. Again, take notes in your margin there. Now, what was happening here is 1 Corinthians 14, 21 and 22. In the law it's written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people. Yet for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Let's continue down. I think I have the Isaiah scripture. This is where that is written in the Word of God. Isaiah 28, 11 and 12. With stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people. All right. What's happening here is you had these believers who were in the early church. They had come out from Hebrews. The Hebrew people had come out from the law of Moses and teaching the law and the prophets. So they knew this scripture. And so when it says tongues is a sign to the unbelievers who came into the midst, who knew these scriptures, would see Isaiah 28 fulfilled right in their midst. So Paul says, speaking in tongues is a sign to these unbelievers that God is alive and well and doing something fresh and today. It's fulfilled in their midst. Does that make sense? They saw the Word of God fulfilled. There's the context for that scripture. Next page. Aren't tongues supposed to be a gift for evangelism where foreign speakers can hear the gospel in their own language? Well, yes and no, not exclusively. There are different kinds of tongues. Let's just talk about them. In Acts chapter 2, you had the disciples in the upper room. And Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, how many know about the day of Pentecost? That was the only Bible instance where speaking in tongues was evangelistic in the sense that foreign languages were understood. It is never like that again in the New Testament. But it becomes a big objection point. But what did they do? They didn't know these foreign languages. Those came on them supernaturally by the hand of God. And they declared what? The mighty works of God. It wasn't like they were speaking in a foreign language to talk to this person saying, you need to give your life to Jesus. It was magnifying and declaring in a language they understood the mighty, wonderful works of God. Speaking in tongues, the normal, most usual initial evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. 4 out of 5 cases in the Scriptures in the New Testament, that's exactly what you see. Remember Cornelius's household. Or Paul with John the Baptist's disciples. Something supernaturally occurred, and there's a supernatural speaking of mysteries. But let's go to Acts 2, 1 through 7, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. I have it up here. They were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. One sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, the multitude came together. They were confused. Now notice, were the disciples confused? They weren't confused, were they? God did something new, but it was the people that were listening who were confused. They needed understanding, but the disciples weren't confused. They were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all those who speak Galileans? Now, there have been times. Let me just tell you a real quick story. There has been times. We had a gal in our congregation many years ago now where her father was, I believe, an ambassador in the Middle Eastern countries. And she was sitting in our pew one night as we were worshiping the Lord, I believe it was a Wednesday night service, sitting next to somebody who didn't believe in speaking in tongues. And she just, in worship, began to speak in tongues and worship the Lord. The person standing next to her, is that how the story goes? The person standing next to her understood in Middle Eastern languages the praise and worship of God. Let me say that differently. She understood in a language that was being spoken next to her. I said that wrong. She understood language that her dad had taught her, and it was the praise of God in Middle Eastern languages. Okay, that's how that story goes. Let me try one more, and then we'll move right on. There was a man, many years, had been recipient of prayer to receive this experience from the Lord. Now, you have to cooperate with God when you receive prayer. You have to do what only you can do. Move your tongue, your lips. A voice isn't going to jump out if you just drop your jaw. And then God turns the formation of those syllables into a prayer language. This man had been prayed for years to receive this experience, but he wouldn't do anything. Wouldn't open his mouth. Wouldn't do anything. One morning, he finally got so upset at everybody, he went forward before the church service started, knelt down, and loudly began to speak in tongues. Well, regardless of whether it's in order or not, everybody around had been praying for him for years, started to rejoice. Said, look, hey, Charlie's got it! And after a little while of this, Charlie spun around and said, you all think I'm speaking in tongues. I want you to know for the last several minutes, I've just been faking it to get you guys off my back. How would you feel? In the back of the room, that particular Sunday morning service, there were three visiting missionaries from China. One of them raised his hand and said, excuse me, brother. You may think you've been faking it for the last several minutes, but actually for the last several minutes, you've been praising God in perfect fluent Chinese. God knows what to do. He's just looking for some folks to cooperate with him. Turn to each other and say, come on, let's cooperate with God. So, you've got the other languages people can understand. You've got speaking in tongues for your private prayer language. You've got praying in the Spirit, etc. You've got speaking in tongues and interpretation in the congregation like we saw this morning. And you've got an office gifting of a tongues and an interpreter as a ministry gift. Not everybody does that, but everybody can do the other. Isn't the Holy Spirit given to a person when he becomes a Christian? Everybody give me a resounding yes. You wouldn't even become a Christian if the Holy Spirit wasn't involved in your life. Amen? If the Holy Spirit didn't brood over your life, your eyes wouldn't open, your ears wouldn't hear. He knows how to move on you. Now, if I gave you, every eye up here, if I said to you, I'm going to give you a pound of gold this morning, what would you say to me? Okay. It is going up, a pound of gold, man. That would be worth something. Great economic value, purchasing power. If it's pure gold, I mean, you get as high a content as you can, something great we'd all like to have, right? How many know there's a difference between 1 pound of gold and 100 pounds of gold? How many would rather have 100 pounds of gold? Same purity, same economic power, just a lot more of it. When someone becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit is there. Remember, the Scripture says, let's see, I have it up here, Pat, let's see if it's there at that point, okay? Well, the Holy Spirit prays through us, but there's a point where the Bible says, Jesus said he breathed on them, so they would receive the Holy Spirit, and I believe that's in John. Let's see, do you have it right close by? We'll do a little skipping around. There we are, John 20, verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So they received the Spirit of God. Now there's another difference between that and the next verse, which is Acts 1, 4 through 5. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them, the same ones who had received his breath, don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father which you have heard from me. John truly baptized with water. You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from hence. So it's the same quality. It's just a greater quantity. The breath or the rushing mighty wind? Acts chapter 2. The breath or the rushing mighty wind? How many want the breath of God? I do. How many also want the rushing mighty wind of God? I want that too. Samaria. In Acts chapter 8, if it's up there, Pat. I know we're skipping around just a little bit. Acts chapter 8, 14 through 17. When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Philip went down, had a fantastic revival. Miracles, healings, power. Power moving everywhere. But look what happened. They sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon... How can you say that, Kevin? Miracles. Powerful miracles. But as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So when they heard there was something more, look at the response. Read it out loud with me, please. Verse 17. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Another section in Acts chapter 19, we have Paul finding disciples on the road to Ephesus. Finding some disciples, third line down, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They were what? Disciples. They were disciples. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. He said to them, into what were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him which had come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, read it with me, boom it out, please. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Keep reading. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. There's a separate experience from their water baptism, a separate experience from their surrender to the Lord. They received a greater infilling. And we're going to just finish with this next section. Can everyone speak in tongues? The answer?
Yes.
Yes. God expresses His desire through Paul that everyone should speak in tongues. He says, here's the scripture, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. I wish that you all spoke with tongues. And you see in your text there, the identical Greek word for wish is translated desires in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. How many know that that desire is a strong word? So when Paul says, I wish that you all spoke in tongues, he's saying the same thing. That strong desire. I want this to be happening in your life because God wants to give you a precious, precious gift. All can speak in tongues. It's available. He's available to everyone. There has to be a hunger and understanding that it's available and a willingness to humble yourself. I haven't received. I've been prayed for a bunch. Come on, let's pray again. Doesn't make any difference. We'll work with you. You can receive this on your own. You can receive this through prayer. But God wants you to be strong. Let me ask you a question. Some say, well, if it's the will of God, He'll give this to me. Is it the will of God for you to be as strong as you possibly can be?
Yes.
How many believe that's the will of God?
Yes.
Is it the will of God for you to love Jesus even more?
Yes.
How many believe He wants that for you?
Yes.
So is it therefore the will of God for you to have this gift? Yes. Do we look down on people who don't? Absolutely not. We're here to help people. We're here to help folks grow and pray for people. And if you're having difficulty in this, no problem. We'll stand with you, pray with you, and walk through this with you. There are some simple instructions on how to receive and what to do. And first of all, it begins with renouncing any occult activity, repenting from any known sin, and then cleaning out your spirit so God can move. And we'll be honored to pray with anyone. I'm going to bring this to a close. Bring your tract back with you next week, and we'll pick up from where we've left off. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit is an absolutely miraculous, life-changing gift. Elaine, would you come, please? And we'll finish with, let's go to the key of A. Lift up your head. And let me just complete this with a particular personal story. I grew up as a preacher's kid's son. I was told I was supposed to live a good life all my life. I never knew anything about how to do that. I went to church, but church didn't mean anything to me. Is there anybody in this room like me in that way? Church didn't mean anything to me. It was fine. It was culturally fine. I was a third of three sons, and as soon as the preacher said amen, my mom and I were out the door like somebody shot us out of a gun. I never knew what a fellowship hall was. I'd go to sleep during most of the messages, and it didn't mean anything to me until I got saved. When I gave my life to Jesus, church changed. But I realized I only had half of a gospel, because there's a full gospel awaiting. The Bible says, repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Ghost. If you remember Acts chapter 2, the people on the day of Pentecost who came under conviction by Peter's preaching said, what do we do? And he said, it's simple. Repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Ghost. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in my life, my Christian walk with the Lord changed completely. Doesn't mean there was no more temptation, plenty of temptation, but more strength, more fire, more passion for Jesus, more hunger for Him to walk with Him than ever before. That's what this gift is all about. Amen? How many know God is good and He loves you? Let's stand together. Loved people of God. Father, we thank You that You are the God who is so good. As we look to Your Word to understand the gifts of the Spirit, we want to please You first and foremost, and we want to love Your church. Show us, Lord, implant the Word of God in our hearts and in our spirits, and we'll be careful to obey You. And all the people said, amen. We're going to sing here in a moment, but if you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus, I urge you to come on forward and we'll be honored to pray with you as you surrender to Him. If you need healing in your body, the Lord does that work. Come on up and we'll have a team of people here to pray for you. If you'd like a freer release or a release in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the accompanying gift of speaking in tongues, we'll have people here to pray for you as well. We love you guys. God bless you. You made it to church early. Remember, next Sunday, it's just as early. But come on back and let's worship the Lord together. We'll complete this message.